الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. I hope and pray that you are all doing well by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this tremendously blessed day, because today is the last Friday of the month of Ramadan. And we know from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Friday is the most blessed day of the week and that Ramadan is the most blessed month of the year. So here we have two types of blessings coming together, and particularly in a way that we are not going to see, at least for another year, if ever, right? Because at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best as to what decree has been issued with regards to us, what Allah has decided with regards to our time in this world, as we discussed last week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all His decrees regarding us good for us and beneficial and easy for us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So brothers and sisters, last night, alhamdulillah, we had drive-in night prayer, and we had dua, and mashallah, a number of families came out, and many people also prefer to pray at home, which is very good, mashallah. If you're establishing prayers in your homes, that is excellent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. I hope that you're able to get some sleep, because I know many brothers and sisters were up all night. And perhaps, you have work and you're busy, so maybe you do not get too much sleep. But really, if we sacrifice our sleep for a few nights, for a few of these nights, really, wallahi, it's really worth it, right? Because the last thing that we want is that when there's something happening, right, when there's something being given away, when there's something that's valuable, that's available to be taken, that we are sleeping through that, right? So if we have to sacrifice our sleep a little bit, and if it means that, we're not going to sleep well for a few nights of Ramadan, or, a few nights a year, because we are worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are making dua, and we are hopeful in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in receiving the reward, the benefits of Laylatul Qadr, then definitely it is worth it. Now, of course, if you have some issue and you need to sleep and rest, certainly, you should do that. And indeed, our bodies have a right over us as well, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us. So our bodies do have a right, our families do have a right over us. But if it means sacrificing a little bit, on these few days and nights and being a little bit patient, then inshallah that will be really, really worth it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each of us the reward of Laylatul Qadr every single year and every single Ramadan that we are alive. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So my brothers and sisters, we find ourselves on which day are we at today? We are on the 25th day of Ramadan. Right, so the last night was the 25th night. So we are now on this 25th day of Ramadan. And subhanAllah, we embarked on this special journey, or you could say we welcomed a special guest 24 days ago. And some of us were ready, we hit the ground running, others perhaps were slow to start, and now are warmed up. And by the way, it's possible that compared to other Ramadans, this one has been a bit more challenging, a bit more difficult, because subhanAllah, the effect, the impact of the pandemic spiritually, right, is going to be felt in Ramadan, right? So if the past year, we have not been able to go to the masjid, or our attendance at the masjid has, has come down, we have not been able to attend Salatul Jum'ah for no fault of our own, but just generally, those types of things are going to have an impact on us spiritually, perhaps negatively, but there could also be a positive impact as well, because there, due to the restrictions, there are probably many activities or scenario situations that we have not found ourselves in during the past year because of the pandemic and because of the restrictions. So it could have an impact either way, but if you're finding it a little bit difficult this Ramadan, don't be too harsh on yourself, because the situation that we are in obviously is not normal. They are extremely rare and challenging circumstances. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our shortcomings. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. But nonetheless, perhaps, you know, you were slow to start, but maybe you have warmed up by now. And usually that's when it hits home, right? It's like when there's only a few nights left, and there's, you know, the last 10, and even the last 10 are getting less now. And the possible Laylatul Qadr is even getting less. And, you know, you sort of think to yourself, you say to yourself that, you know, what is my state that I have not been able to focus until now? I have not even able to shed a single tear until now. I haven't felt anything in my heart until now. You know, and if it doesn't happen now, when is it going to happen? And subhanAllah, a lot of times it's that thought, it's that feeling, that thought of helplessness and of resignation about one's own spiritual state that actually leads to it happening, right? That is what triggers it and actually causes it. Because then you think, you know, am I really at that state where I'm not even feeling anything even after so many days and nights of Ramadan? What if I don't feel anything? What, you know, I can't even shed a single tear. That's how hard my heart has become. And subhanAllah, if a person really reflects on that deeply, then Allah, maybe that will be the cause for them, for their heart to actually soften, and for those tears and for those feelings to actually come forward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify and soften our hearts, fill them with love for Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May we ask Allah, we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept whatever we have been able to do this far and to forgive our shortcomings. And remember, when we say what we have been able to do, it's really what Allah has facilitated, what Allah has allowed and given us the strength and the tawfiq to actually do. Right? At the end of the day, you know, it's really interesting when we talk about spirituality and the journey of the spiritual path in Islam. And subhanAllah, when, you know, you start off, you know, learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness, glorifying Allah, remembering Allah, building love and attachment for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the end, at the very end, sort of like the final stage, is when you realize that you're just basically nothing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, you know, you have no power, you have nothing, there's, you know, you're just absolutely minuscule in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're totally dependent on the mercy of Allah, right? At the end of the day, that's the true feeling that we want inside of our hearts. And especially at this time, this is the feeling that we want. That we are fuqara in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are needy in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are destitute in front of Allah. There's no goodness that we do except that it is through Allah's guidance. There's nothing of ours. We're just totally incompetent. And it shouldn't make us, as I discussed previously, it shouldn't make us despondent. It shouldn't make us hopeless. But it's just to give us the feeling of our neediness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more needy a person feels in front of Allah, the more they rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah, the greater the response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So the more things you want to take care of yourself, and the more you think about yourself, the more Allah will leave you and say, okay, well, you think you can do it by yourself? You go do it by yourself. The more needy you feel in front of Allah, the more, you know, empty you feel in front of Allah, the more need you feel for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond according to that, inshallah. Now, my brothers and sisters, just like this month seems to have gone by in a flash. For most people, it's going to feel like, you know, Ramadan just started yesterday, or, you know, didn't start a very long time ago. So just like this month may seem like it has gone in a flash, our lifetime will also seem like a flash when we reach our end. When we come to our end, you know, on the Day of Judgment, when people look back to how this life went, it's literally going to seem like it was a flash, just a few moments, just a few minutes. Maybe a few hours, right? That's how it's going to feel like. Because at the end of the day, that is how little it is compared to our true existence, or, you know, in terms of eternity, which we have been created for, right? The life of this world is just a minuscule part of it, you know. And the example I'll give you is for those who do video editing, or if you do audio editing, you know, when you zoom into a timeline, you know, a few seconds may seem like they're really big. Like on your screen, right? If you're doing video or audio editing and you're trying to edit a clip, or, you know, you're just trying to slice something up and you zoom into that moment on your timeline, it seems, whoa, it's really big, right? But when you actually play the clip, you realize that maybe that moment was only a couple of seconds, right? So it's all about perspective. So our life in this world is the same thing. When we're inside of it, it seems like, whoa, it's so long, it's so many years, subhanAllah. But when we're actually taken out of it, and then we realize, we look at it and say, whoa, this was only, you know, this was really just in the true sense, it was only a few minutes and a few hours, right? So it's going to go by just as fast. Now, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us to this day is a great blessing, subhanAllah, right? And you know, it's one thing to recognize the blessing. Most, right? So what matters most in our journey is that our destination as our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And we want to be getting close to Him. We want to be earning His love and His pleasure. And the more closer you get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more beloved and special you become to Him. And you know, yesterday during Sunset Live, we were talking about nawafil, right? We were talking about extra acts of worship, optional acts of worship. And there's a beautiful hadith, Qudsi, the Prophet ﷺ has related from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inna Allah qal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, man aada li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb, that whoever shows hostility to a friend of mine, I have declared war upon that person. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoever shows hostility to a friend of mine, right, then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He declares war upon that person. Now you tell me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, declares war upon a person, what's going to happen to that person? What hope, like what chance of success do they even have? Okay, so whoever shows hostility to a friend of mine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have declared war upon him. Now Allah talks more about friendship and how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant does not grow closer to me with anything more beloved to me than the duties I have imposed upon him. Okay, this is really profound. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us basically the pathway to getting close to him. Okay, if you want to get closer to Allah, okay, which honestly, you, like everybody should want to do, because if you're close to Allah, it means you're closer to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And on the Day of Judgment, that's what's going to matter most. Right? Even more than our actions. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah tells us how to get closer to Allah. How do we get closer? So Allah says, my servant does not grow closer to me with anything more beloved to me. So if you want to do something that's beloved to Allah, that's going to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. مِمَّ افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Right? With anything more beloved to me than the duties I have imposed upon him. Okay? So the fara'id, the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us, these are the things that bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most beloved way to Allah. Because if you really want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that's a resolve you made this Ramadan, mashallah, you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then first and foremost, focus on the fara'id. Focus on the obligations and then trying to do them well. And trying to do them well. You know, a lot of times we're focused maybe on a lot of other things, optional things, which are good and which are important. We're going to talk about that. But we're not really focusing on the fara'id. We're letting go of the obligations, or not taking care or paying due attention to the obligations, and instead focusing on things which are relatively secondary. So the first thing to focus on is our perfection of our obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the others, the optional, is also important, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rather said, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. He goes on to say, my servant continues to grow closer to me with extra good works, with extra good deeds. So the obligations are the pathway to getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a servant of Allah keeps getting closer to Allah through the optional deeds. Okay, so yes, the obligations will get you closer to a certain point, but then the optional deeds are also closer, also important if you want to continue to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, حَتَّى أَحِبَّهُ, until I love him or her. So a person, a servant of Allah, continues to get closer to Allah, first through the obligations, then through the optional acts of worship, until there comes a point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحِبَّهُ, until I love that person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, when I love him, what happens? What happens? كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person, He says, I am His hearing with which He hears, His seeing with which He sees, His hand with which He strikes, and His foot with which He walks, or of course, for same thing for women as well, with which she walks, and she sees, and she strikes, and she hears. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that when He starts loving a person, right, He blesses them in such a way that all of their faculties are like supercharged. Right? They're guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are given divine blessings. Right? It doesn't mean that the person becomes divine, but it means that they are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that their normal activities, you know, their faculties, the normal things that they would be doing, all of them become supercharged because they are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's blessings are totally upon that person. So everything that they do is blessed. Everything that they do is more profound and has greater impact and is more beautiful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأَعْطِيَنَّ. And at that point, if that person were to ask from me, I would surely give it to them. I would surely give it to them. If they make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I would surely give it to them. Why? Because the person is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ وَمَا تَرَدْتُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَاعِلُهُ تَرَدُّدِي عَنْ نَفْسِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتَ وَأَكْرَهُ مَسَأَتَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that were that person to ask something from me, I would surely give it to them. Were they to ask me for refuge, I would surely grant it to them. I do not hesitate to do anything as I hesitate to take the soul of the believer, for he or she hates death and I hate to displease him. And why do they hate death? Not because, you know, they're afraid of death, or not because they love the dunya, but rather they want to continue basking in this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continue getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continue spending time in worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we got to remember, when we talk about worship, we're not only talking about specific acts of worship. Yes, those are important. Right? Those are absolutely important to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person can't get close to Allah by ignoring the prescribed acts of worship, or, you know, the specific acts of worship, and just, you know, doing other good deeds, right? They both go together. So yes, establishing the obligations, the acts of worship, the all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do that specifically bring us closer to Him. But then also serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving humanity with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, doing good works with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Right? So all of those things together, they make a beautiful package that help a person, that lead a person to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person wants to continue doing those things to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why they hate death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I hate displeasing them. So that is that closeness, you know, that develops between that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this beautiful way. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst these people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Now, my brothers and sisters, on the day of Eid, inshallah, Eid is coming, most likely expected to be on Thursday, May 13th, but, you know, it's going to be based on global moon sighting. We'll have the announcement at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, inshallah, but we're expecting it to be most likely on Thursday, inshallah. So on the day of Eid, we want to be more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more beloved, feel more love than we did on the first day of Ramadan. We want to keep it that way. Right? Like, I think sometimes we sort of expect that we're going to slide after Ramadan. And perhaps some of that expectation is natural, right? Because, of course, shayateen are locked up, rewards are multiplied, we're more focused on Ramadan. So Ramadan is over, then, you know, maybe the level of intensity won't be the same. So maybe there will be a bit of a slide. Okay, but we don't want to slide all the way down to how we were before Ramadan. Okay, and I always give the example of using Ramadan as a stepping stone to get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build self-improvement, to reform our character, right? To become better human beings, better servants of Allah, better brothers and sisters, better relatives, better spouses, better members of the community, better neighbors, better members of society, right? So Ramadan should be a stepping stone. Otherwise, it's like a person who goes forward and then reverses. They're in a parking lot. They just go ahead a bit and then they reverse back. Are they going anywhere? No. They're not going anywhere, right? They're just going a little bit forward and then they're just losing everything. So we don't want to be those people, my brothers and sisters. And the purpose of this journey that we're on is to purify ourselves, right? To elevate our level of taqwa, to come out permanently better people, towards others and as better slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, over the last 24 days, you've probably, most people are fasting, mashallah. Those who are not able to, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the reward of fasting according to your good intentions. So last 24 days, many of us have felt hungry and thirsty during the day. And actually, you know what? If we haven't felt hungry and thirsty, maybe that's a cause for reflection. How come I've been fasting for 24 days and I haven't felt any hunger or thirst? Am I eating too much at suhoor, or am I not like doing enough activity? Like, what's going on, right? Just something to think about. Maybe Allah has blessed you and you don't feel any hunger at all. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it should cause us to think a little bit. Okay, so many of us have felt hungry and thirsty during the day. You felt it in the stomachs. Maybe your mouth and throat has felt dry. But the impact should be felt in our hearts. And how so? Because we know that the primary purpose of fasting is taqwa, right? Is to build our piety, our fear, our consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that at-taqwa hahuna. And the narrator says, وَيُشِيرُ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed towards his chest and his heart, and he said that, you know, pointing three times, that at-taqwa, taqwa resides here, right? Meaning it's in the heart, right? So taqwa, which is the purpose of fasting, has to do with the heart, not with the stomach, okay? Not with the mouth. Right, those are just pathways to getting here, right? To building taqwa here. Now, Imam An-Nawawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said something really profound. He says that أَنَّ الْعَمَالَ الظَّاهِرَةَ لَا يَحْصُلُ بِهَا التَّقْوَى. That the outward actions, right? Taqwa is not really attained through those. Taqwa is not really attained through outwardly actions. But rather, وَإِنَّمَا تَحْصُلُ بِمَا يَقَعُ فِي الْقَلْبِ مِنْ عَظَمَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَخَشْيَتِهِ وَمُرَاقَبَتِهِ. That instead, says, indeed, you know, taqwa is attained through what occurs in the heart with regards to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and muraqaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the things that build taqwa. That is what gives us taqwa. Right, so the fasting, it's a means. It's a very rewarding, beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, tells us that fasting, as-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi, right, the fasting is for me and I will give the reward for it. Because other actions, you could do it for other people. But fasting, only Allah knows that you're actually fasting through the entire day. So it's exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But the taqwa is going to come, right? It's going to come through what we feel in our hearts, not what we feel in our stomachs. What we feel in our stomachs should lead us to building something in our hearts. Now, with regards to muraqabah, one of the best or finest definitions we find is that muraqabah of Allah is being on the way to Him at all times with overwhelming glorification and inciting nearness and urging joy. So the overwhelming glorification is to have the heart filled with the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a state makes the servant unconcerned with glorifying others or paying attention or unnecessary attention to others beside Allah. So a servant ideally should always have this state, especially when remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, turning our entire existence, our entire lives into purposeful servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is really the purpose of our lives. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have not created the jinns and the human beings except for my worship, that worship really is in the sense of servitude, right? That entire life, everything that we do is done in a way that it is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this state. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So taqwa, my brothers and sisters, you can think of it as the foundation, okay, or the roof, you know, of your house. So the foundation leaks, or the roof leaks, and it keeps damaging your house, your home. It keeps damaging your furniture, your, you know, the things you have inside of your house, and you keep repairing. Okay, you don't repair the foundation. A person doesn't repair the foundation. They don't repair the roof. They just keep replacing the carpet, and they keep, you know, redoing the drywall and replacing their items and their objects. Okay, and they're not actually taking care of the real root cause. So the damage is being caused because the root problem is not addressed, right? So similarly, taqwa is at the root of our symptoms, the consequences of spiritual illnesses, right? So a lot of the problems we find today in our lives, really, a lot of the problems that we find inside in our lives, the challenges that we are, you know, that we are preoccupied with. That's not to say we don't have real challenges. We do have real challenges, right? But many of them, right? Many of the things that we face or that we're concerned about or that causes us, you know, anxiety or causes us worry, right? That causes us to be disturbed, that causes problems in our relationships, you know, that is impacting us negatively. A lot of it can be traced down to taqwa, because that's at the root of it, right? That's at the root of it. And because there's a lack of taqwa, then there's all these other things that start appearing, right? So a lot of times we try to address the symptoms that are visible, right? But we don't actually get to the root cause, right? So if the root problem is not addressed, the lack of taqwa, if that's not addressed, you know, if the distractions that take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not addressed. If we have a lack of mindfulness and consciousness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that is not addressed, then the other problems will continue to flourish, right? In negative ways. They're not going to go away. They're going to try to put band-aids and patches on these symptoms, but we're not getting to the root of it, right? So the root of it is mindfulness, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is, my brothers and sisters, that how will this Ramadan change you after Ramadan? Okay, what you've done in Ramadan, alhamdulillah, Allah guided us, may Allah accept from us. But what's going to happen after Ramadan? Change after Ramadan. And mashallah, I have to say, you know, first of all, we should always be focused on ourselves, right? So we should always be doing introspection. But, you know, as someone who's responsible for the community, I don't look at individuals specifically, but overall as a community, look at how things are going, right? Alhamdulillah, we've been finding that, you know, the pandemic has thrown a wrench in some ways. It's been made it a little bit more difficult. But overall, mashallah, we found that people are coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apparently, right? More people want to come to the masjid, want to come together for goodness, want to, you know, give sadaqah, want to contribute in building the masjid. They want to volunteer, they want to feed others. So mashallah, I have to say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bring us closer to Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. But we see some very positive signs, mashallah. So this is great. So, you know, I don't want you to feel bad. I know many people have been making an effort and have taken this to heart. Alhamdulillah, may Allah continue to strengthen me and all of us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, so, but again, we keep going through this process so that we keep getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question is, how will this Ramadan change us even further after Ramadan? Maybe last Ramadan changed us for the better, alhamdulillah. But again, this Ramadan should change us even more for the better, right? Again, going back to the analogy of stepping stones, that every Ramadan should bring some positive change. So the leak may have been fixed in Ramadan, but is it going to spring again after Ramadan? Right, and that example, you know, one scholar gave, which I love, is your bucket of good deeds going to be like a leaky bucket, right? That you put something in, you got some good deeds, but then they start leaking out. They all leak away. Right? At the end, there's nothing left in the bucket. Right? We don't want that type of bucket. We want our bucket to be solid so it doesn't leak. Right? And, you know, so this change, my brothers and sisters, is transformative change. It's more than just 1 month. Right? We start seeing many impacts of taqwa. And one of the foremost is to truly value Allah, truly value His words, truly value His pleasure more than myself, more than my wants and my desires and the desires of others. So really, psychologically, in terms of our attitude, putting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the top of every decision, right? Of every choice, every step and every breath, and putting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his way at the top as well. So giving true value in consideration to his teachings and his example and his guidance. So that Allah's likes become my likes. And Allah's dislikes become my dislikes. The likes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam become my likes. Allah's the dislikes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam become my dislikes. So molding ourselves according to the likes and dislikes of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to put the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, ahead of ours, that is what sacrifice is about. Now, Jannah doesn't come cheap, right? There's sacrifice that is required, struggling and sacrifice and striving and feeling. And, you know, if to put the pleasures of Allah, to put the pleasure of Allah after all our needs and pleasures, you tell me, is that really sacrifice? Right? Is that really sacrifice? Is that really genuine love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That I say, okay, I'm gonna do what Allah wants me to do, what the Prophet has taught, but first I'm going to do what I feel like doing. First I'm going to, you know, do everything I want. And then I'll see, and then, you know, I'll sort of fit in Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam somewhere. Right? That's not really how it should be. Right? It's got to be the other way around. Where my focus is, okay, what do Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want? What have they taught? So that is first and foremost on top. What I want and what I like and what anyone else likes, that's all secondary. Right? First, it has to be the pleasure of Allah and the guidance of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. Oh, you have believed, shall I guide you to a transaction that will save you from a painful punishment? تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. It is that you believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and strive in the cause of Allah. وَجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Strive, struggle in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your wealth and your lives. Okay? So physically and financially. That is the best for you if you should know. So my brothers and sisters, let us take advantage of these final few days and nights of Ramadan. Let us reflect on what impact this Ramadan is going to have on us after Ramadan and for the rest of our lives. Otherwise, we might end up like a leaky bucket, losing all of its contents, left dry and empty, which we do not want. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, has enumerated many signs for the acceptance and non-acceptance of tawbah. And from among the signs of acceptance of tawbah, of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that the servant should be better after repentance than before. Right? So what does this mean? This means that the repenting person should see whether or not they have increased their good deeds and decreased their bad deeds. And especially after Ramadan. Because in Ramadan, everyone has an incentive, everyone's doing it, and you know, there's greater rewards, shaitan's locked up, shayateen are locked up, so you know, there's obviously a reason why we would be doing better. Alhamdulillah, it's Ramadan, we hope, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after Ramadan, right, we want to see, okay, where do we stand? Have we added anything good in our lives? Have we taken away anything negative? Right? Because that is a sign of acceptance of tawbah. Another one of the signs is that the person should become more humble and benefit from their state of mind by resorting to supplications of humility and servitude, right? So making dua and feeling that neediness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even after the month of Ramadan. Now, we have undoubtedly made mistakes during this month. We have not done everything the way it should have been done, especially when it comes to our fasting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed zakatul fitr to be paid before Eid, right? So zakatul fitr, sadaqatul fitr, or fitra, whatever you want to call it. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu related, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu related, قال فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زكاة الفطر طهرة للصائم من اللغو والرفث وأمة للمساكين. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم obligated زكاة الفطر as purification of the fasting person. Purification of the fasting person from vain talk and misbehavior. And as food for the poor. So the form of purification, expiation is through what? Food for the poor. من أداها قبل الصلاة فهي زكاة مقبولة. That whoever pays it before the Eid prayer, it is accepted as zakat from them. ومن أداها بعد الصلاة فهي صدقة من الصدقات. Whoever pays it after the Eid prayer, it is part of their voluntary charity. So basically, it should be offered before Eid prayer. Now, zakat al-fitr, the actual is to give food, right? طعمة للمساكين, right? That's the actual. So if someone is able to give food to those who deserve it, to the needy, to the destitute, in the form of food, then that is good. And according to some, that is how it should be done, and that is preferable. But, you know, scholars, especially nowadays, some of them have given this option of paying instead for the food. Okay, so if you're not able to find someone who's needy, you don't know who to give it to, then you give money, and the calculation is approximately, we would say minimum $10 per person, right? For every single person of your family, $10 to be paid before Eid. If you can give more, by all means, give more. So more needy benefit, they can get more food and better food, inshallah. But minimum, let's do $10, inshallah. There's a link on our website, kananamuslims.ca/donate. There's a link for zakat, zakat al-mal and zakat al-fitr. Click on the link and then choose which one it is, inshallah. And you can contribute, and inshallah, it will be given to Sadaqah Food Bank. It will go to those who are needy, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Let us make some dua, my brothers and sisters. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والعاقبة للمتقين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله علانيته وسره. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى ولك الحمد إذا رضيت ولك الحمد بعد الرضا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Oh Allah, we praise you and we thank you for all of your blessings, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, even if you had given us blessings, you would still be worthy of praise and thanks, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, we thank you for all of your blessings. Oh Allah, you have blessed us in so many ways. Oh Allah, you have brought us to this point in this blessed month, this last blessed Friday of this blessed month. Oh Allah, for who of us it is going to be the last Friday of our last Ramadan ever. Oh Allah, only you know best. But oh Allah, please accept us on this day, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, we cannot thank you enough for all of your blessings. Oh Allah, we don't know how many of us, who of us will see another Ramadan, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, we are your weak servants. Oh Allah, we are filthy with sins. Oh Allah, we have nothing to offer. Oh Allah, we have nothing. Oh Allah, we are poor. Oh Allah, we are destitute in front of you. Oh Allah, we are needy in front of you. Oh Allah, please forgive us for our shortcomings, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please forgive us for our many mistakes, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, forgive us for all of our shortcomings, Ya Rabbal Alameen, that we did openly or secretly, Oh Allah, knowingly or unknowingly. Oh Allah, whether we did them with our hands, Oh Allah, with our eyes, with our ears, Oh Allah, with our feet, Oh Allah, with our minds, Oh Allah, with our mouths, Oh Allah, or any other part of our body. Oh Allah, please forgive all of them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please accept our meager deeds. Oh Allah, please accept our little deeds, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, they do not compare. Oh Allah, they're not to the extent. Oh Allah, they're not to the perfection that you deserve, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, they are no match to the deeds done by your pious servants, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, but we are also needy. Oh Allah, we are also members of the ummah of your beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh Allah, please accept from us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please do not leave us without your mercy and forgiveness on this day, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please accept us from amongst the grateful, Oh Allah, and the pious, and the people of taqwa, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please perfect our faith, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please remove all the doubts and misgivings from our hearts, Ya Rabbal Alameen, and the hearts of our young ones, and our older ones, and all of us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please give us the correct understanding of you and your religion and of your beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his teachings and your book, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please protect all of our loved ones. Oh Allah, please protect all of our relatives and our friends. Oh Allah, please protect all of our fellow brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, so much death. Oh Allah, so much pain and suffering. Oh Allah, especially in India, other parts of the world as well. Oh Allah, please cure all of our brothers and sisters, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please ease the grief of those who have lost loved ones, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please cure those who are ill, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please relieve those who are in pain and hardship, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please make us all the people of goodness in this life and the next, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please keep us and our future generations safe in every way, in every possible way, in this world and in the hereafter, especially, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, for many years we have been struggling. Oh Allah, we have been striving to establish your house of worship in our locality here in Kanata. Oh Allah, we are small. Oh Allah, we are ignorant. Oh Allah, we are uneducated. Oh Allah, we are not worthy or capable. Oh Allah, but it is for your pleasure and it is to serve you and your deen. Oh Allah, please accept our meager efforts, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please make it easy for us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, the costs and the numbers seem big. Oh Allah, for us, they're tiny for you. Oh Allah, we are trying, but you are the doer. Oh Allah, please make this journey easy for us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please guide us and grant us success in all of our affairs with unity and togetherness and love, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please protect us from all types of evil, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant us sincerity and continue to guide us to a result that you are pleased with, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant an immense, tremendous reward to all of our supporters, Ya Rabbal Alameen. People who have sacrificed, who have trusted us, and have given their wealth for your pleasure, for your cause. Oh Allah, please reward them immensely, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, all of our supporters, our volunteers, our staff, our board members, Oh Allah, the countless of hours that they have put into this project, Oh Allah, and this effort, Oh Allah, please accept from all of them, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please protect them, make it a means of protecting them and their loved ones till the day of judgment, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please grant them all the best place in Jannah, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Oh Allah, please continue to guide us and strengthen us, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma aghfir li jami'i mawtal muslimin alladhina shahidu laka bil wahdaniyah ولنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وعافهم واعف عنهم وأكرم نزلهم ووسع مدخلهم واغسلهم بالماء والثلج والبرد ونقهم كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم تقبل صيامنا، اللهم تقبل قيامنا، اللهم تقبل ركوعنا وسجودنا وتلاوتنا، اللهم تقبل منا صدقاتنا، اللهم تقبل منا كل صالح أعمالنا، اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولجميع المسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم اعتق رقابنا من النار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك، وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها، وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم بارك في أعمار آبائنا وأمهاتنا، ومتعهم بالصحة والعافية. اللهم ارحم من انتقل منهم إلى رحمتك. اللهم أنزلهم منزلا مباركا. اللهم بارك في المحسنين الذين ينفقون أموالهم ابتغاء وجهك الكريم. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان، ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم حرر المسجونين المظلومين، خصوصا في بلاد المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام وانصر المسلمين، وألف بين قلوب المسلمين، ووحد صفوفهم، وأصلح قادتهم، واجمع كلمتهم على الحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم حرر فلسطين والمسجد الأقصى يا رب العالمين. اللهم احفظ وانصر إخواننا وأخواتنا في كل مكان، خصوصا في بورما وفي فلسطين وفي الصين وفي كشمير وفي الهند وفي سريلانكا وفي بلاد الشام، في سوريا وفي العراق وفي اليمن وفي سومان وفي أفغانستان وفي ليبيا وفي مصر وفي الجزائر وفي المغرب وفي كل مكان. اللهم انصر المستضعفين في كل مكان، وحقق لهم النصر والفتح المبين يا رب العالمين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. جزاكم الله خير, my brothers and sisters, for your attention, for your sincerity, for your good intentions. And I know it's been difficult by not being able to come for Salatul Jum'ah with just, you know, 10 people, and we conduct draws and things like that. And I know it's not hard. It's hard, especially for our elders, our children, our sisters who haven't been able to come for a long time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, keep you all safe. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for Salatul Jum'ah at home. And may Allah increase your reward because of your patience that you're exerting at this time when you're not able to come and offer Salah together. Please go ahead, offer four rak'ahs of Dhuhr prayer, inshallah. And we look forward to seeing you tonight, KMA Sunset Live. And then inshallah, tomorrow night, 27th night, Saturday night into Sunday morning, inshallah, we'll have a live special broadcast from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. We'll also have an opportunity for drive-through donations, inshallah. You can also donate now on this blessed day at kanadamuslims.ca/donate. And inshallah, there's many options for donating. So please don't let this day go by without contributing something for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless you all and keep you all safe. And really, my du'as come from the bottom of my heart for each and every one of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always grant you what is best and grant you all that is good for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and your family, your children, your parents, your loved ones from everything that is evil till the day of judgment. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Take care of yourselves. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.